إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، welcome all of you. Continue reading from the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. من الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى. باب ما جاء من التغليظ في من عبد الله عند قبر رجل صالح فكيف إذا عبده. This chapter number 20 in كتاب التوحيد. As شيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى mentioned in this chapter the condemnation of the one who worships Allah at the grave of a righteous man, and how then does this amount to worship of the man himself. This chapter is about a warning, severe warning, against performing an act of worship at the gravesite. This is now a person worshipping Allah, performing an act of worship, but by the grave of a righteous person. And this is not permissible. So what about those who worship that dead person himself? Aliyadu billah. ثم قال الشيخ محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله. And before we do this, there is how important for us to learn this, because as you see from the title, just from the title, he's talking about performing acts of worship at the grave of some righteous man. Sheikh Hassan al-Banna, hafidhahullah, you know, our beloved Sheikh who was with us here at the masjid last year, he mentioned when he was here, he says, لا يقول المسلم الذي يعيش في بلد ليس فيه قبور لا تعبد أو في مسجد على السنة ليس فيه قبر أن هذا الأمر لا يعنينا. لا، بل يعنيه وينبغي تعلمه لأنه من الدين. The Sheikh, he says once, from the beautiful things he says and the advices, when he was talking about this matter here, this point, he says that a Muslim who lives in a land when there is no graves and people don't go and worship these graves and the like, or someone who, alhamdulillah, he attend the masjid upon the sunnah, there is no graves on those masjids, he said that person should not say, look, well, this chapter doesn't concern me. I live in an area, there is no graves. Nobody worship graves. People don't go to the graves. Who doesn't concern me? Okay, I can move on this chapter. I don't need this chapter. No, he said, the Shaykh said, you need to learn this chapter. Why? Because this chapter is from the deen of Allah. It's from Tawheed. It's from the deen of Allah. And you got to learn everything. طيب. قال الشيخ محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله في الصحيح عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن أم سلمة ذكرت لرسول الله قال الشيخ الفوزان أي في مرض موته، ذكرت هذا لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في مرض موته، ذكرت كنيسة رأتها بأرض الحبشة وما فيها من الصور، فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أولئك إذا مات فيهم الرجل الصالح أو العبد الصالح بنوا على قبره مسجدا وصوروا فيه تلك الصور أولئك شرار الخلق عند الله. قال الشيخ فهؤلاء جمعوا بين فتنتين، فتنة القبور وفتنة التماثيل. يقول الشيخ الفوزان حفظه الله، وهذا من كلام شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله. The first proof that the Sheikh mentioned in this chapter قال في الصحيح أي في صحيح البخاري ومسلم. In the صحيح, in that which is in Bukhari and Muslim, that Aisha رضي الله عنها reported that أم سلمة رضي الله عنها mentioned to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan in the hadith didn't mention this, but Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan حفظه تعالى, he says that she mentioned this, what you're going to hear now, she mentioned it when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was sick, that sickness that he died after it. So it's short time before he died صلى الله عليه وسلم. And pay attention to what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said at that moment. So أم سلمة رضي الله عنها, she mentioned to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم that in Habasha, Abyssinia, she saw a church full of pictures and statues. The ulama, they says, because she described what was in that church. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, when a righteous man or a pious worshipper among them dies, they build a place of worship over his grave and set up all kinds of pictures and statues. They are the worst of all creatures before Allah. They are the worst of all creatures beside Allah, before Allah. They combine two evils, worshipping at the graves and making graven images and statues. Okay? And then he mentioned a statement of Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. The last thing, actually, it was the statement of Shaykh al-Islam. They combined the two evil, worshipping at the graves, and the same statement in the end of the hadith, there was a similar statement like it by Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. أولئك شرار الخلق عند الله. Actually, the hadith stops at they are the worst of all creatures before Allah, for those who have the English book. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan says, as for they combine between two evils, that's from Shaykh statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. نعم. مناسبة الباب لكتاب التوحيد. Now the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan explained to us the relevance of this chapter to Kitab al-Tawheed. Why Shaykh al-Islam, al-Imam al-Mujaddid, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, has introduced this chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed. قال بيان فيه بيان أن عبادة الله عند القبر وسيلة إلى الشرك المنافي للتوحيد. That because, what is the connection? This chapter, it talks about graves, people worshipping, performing actions of worship by the graves of some righteous man. What this has to do with Tawheed? If I ask you this question. Because this is Kitab al-Tawheed. This is Kitab al-Tawheed. Now the Shaykh is bringing this chapter, talking, actually is warning, it's not just talking. This is a warning against those people who they perform actions of worship by the grave of pious people who died. What this has to do with Kitab al-Tawheed? I'm asking you now. Naam.
This is what the people did in the time of Noah. They venerated them, exaggerated worship. So.
Naam. The Shaykh, he says, Jazakumullah khair, the Shaykh, he says, he wants to make here clear a point that performing actions of worship for Allah, not for the grave, for Allah, but by the grave, is from the means that lead to shirk. Okay? And shirk contradict what?
Tawheed,
that's why. Because remember in this book, Shaykh al-Islam, he talks about Tawheed, But also he talks about that which nullify the Tawheed, shirk. And also the Shaykh bring the things that does not nullify completely the Tawheed, but impairs it, takes away from its completeness. Now, so he mentioned here that in this chapter, he's warning against those people that yeah, they worship Allah. They're doing actions of worship for Allah, but they're doing the wrong place, by the grave of some righteous man. Because that's a mean and leads to shirk. A shirk who opposes Tawheed. Ummu Salama, she's Ummul Mu'mineen. She's the mother of the believers. And they make her what?
Our mother,
yes. But make her what? Ahsan, the wife, one of the wives of the Prophet. Because the wives of the Prophet, they are Ummahatul Mu'mineen, binassil Quran, text from the Quran. They are the mothers of the believers, the wives of the Prophet. So Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, her name is Hind bint Abi Umayyah, Al Makhzumiyyah, Al Qurashiyyah. She died in the year 62 of the Hijrah radiallahu anha. نعم المعنى الإجمالي للحديث. Now the Shaykh bring the general. We read to you the general explanation and meaning of this hadith. Hadith of Aisha رضي الله عنها that أم سلمة رضي الله عنها narrated to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says أن أم سلمة وصفت عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو في مرض الموت ما شاهدته في معبد النصارى من صور الآدميين. In this hadith, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, she described while she was in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, he was very sick. The illness when he died. Okay? So she mentioned what? She mentioned to the Prophet ﷺ, and while she's in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, what she saw in a church, which is a place of worship for the Christians. She mentioned and she talked about that in that place, the church, there are pictures of a human being hanged in that place. فَبَيَّنَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ السَّبَبَ الَّذِي مِنْ أَجْلِهِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذِهِ السُّوَرُ. So the Prophet ﷺ, he made clear the reason for which these people, they put these pictures up there. وَهُوَ الْغُلُوُ فِي تَعْدِيمِ الصَّالِحِينَ. Because they go to extreme as related to the righteous people. And remember, that's the chapter that we just learned before this one, or the one before it. Since they have this extreme as related to, remember in a previous chapter, we mentioned that it's okay to respect and love the righteous people. Okay? It's okay to love and respect, and you know the makana of righteous people. From the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim. Starting from the Sahaba. From Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, radiallahu anhum, Talha, Zubayr, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Ahlu Badr, those who participated in Badr, the Muhajireen, the Ansar. Now, we know their makana, we love them and we respect them. But we're going to say some of them, we make dua. Instead of saying, oh Allah, we say, oh Abu Bakr. No, we can't do that. That's ghulu. More than that, the Prophet ﷺ, we love him, we respect him. Loving him is from iman. You're going to love the Prophet ﷺ. And you're going to love him more than you love yourself, your family, anything else. And we know his makan and his position with Allah, but we don't give the Prophet ﷺ any of the acts of ubudiyyah. Things that are only for Allah should be only for Allah. You find some ignorant and mushriks, wal'iyadu billah, they pray, fast, make hajj, and they say, oh Muhammad, give me. Oh Muhammad, help me. Oh Muhammad, get me out of this. No. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is a servant of Allah, is an abd. You don't ask him, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, they go at the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and began to ask him questions. Oh, Messenger of Allah, I came from far, help me out. My wife don't get children, give me children. Is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the one who gives children? A cure my mother. Is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who cures? No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, as Allah tells us in the Quran, said, say to them, he doesn't possess for himself any benefits or repel harms. How he can do that for others? So because of the ghulu, these people, they put these pictures because they go to extreme as related to loving and respecting the righteous people. مِمَّا أَدَّ بِهِمْ إِلَى بِنَاءِ الْمَسَاجِدِ عَلَى قُبُورِهِمْ وَنَصْبِ صُوَرِهِمْ فِيهَا. The extreme, they lead them to build places of worship around their graves and put their pictures in them. Naam. The Sufis do things like this. وَلَيَّدُ بِاللَّهِ. You think only the Christians? Now the Sufis do things like this. When one of their big guys died, they bury him in the masjid. In the masjid. And they pray there and they happy. They say, look, they believe in this foolishness that somebody who pray in that masjid where that sheikh is buried, his salat is more better than to pray in another masjid when there is no grave. And this is a fitna azima. This is a big fitna. ثم بين صلى الله عليه وسلم حكم من فعل ذلك بأنهم شرار الناس. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he made a ruling, gave a ruling on anyone who does these actions, and they are from the worst of all the people. العياذ بالله. قال هم شرار الناس, شرار الخلق. They are the worst of all creatures before Allah سبحانه وتعالى. لماذا؟ لأنهم جمعوا بين محظورين في هذا الصنيع. They are the worst of the creatures, the Shaykh says, because they combine between two great evils that we should stay away from. فتنة القبور باتخاذها مساجد. The first of the two worst evils, they take the graves as a place of worship, والعياذ بالله. They make from the graves as the places of worship. وفتنة تعظيم التماثيل ومما يؤدي إلى الشرك. And also them venerating and respecting statues, which is leads to shirk, والعياذ بالله. مناسبة الحديث للباب. Now the Shaykh, he mentioned the reason why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى has chosen this hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha as a proof in this chapter. قال أن فيه الدلالة الواضحة على المنع من عبادة الله عند قبور الصالحين واتخاذها مساجد لأن ذلك من فعل النصارى ومن فعله فهو من شرار الخلق. The reason being that in this hadith is a clear proof that is prohibited to perform any actions of worship for Allah, at the grave site of the righteous people. And it is not permissible to do this, and it is not permissible to take those sites, the graves of righteous people, as a places of worship. He says, because this is from the actions of the Christians. They're the one who do this. And whoever does that, he is considered from the worst of the creatures. The Prophet ﷺ, he taught us in the Sunnah what is the etiquette when we visit the graves. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, زور القبور, visit the graves, for indeed it reminds you of the hereafter. Our noble scholars from Shaykh bin Baz and others, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad and many others, they says, visiting the graves, it is not left open to do whatever you want to do. No. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, it reminds you for the hereafter. And if they are the graves of the Muslims, you have the etiquettes You give them the salam. And you make dua for them. They need dua. You don't ask them, you ask them for stuff. They're the one that need you. You're still alive. When you go there, it says, oh Allah, have mercy on them. Oh Allah, accept their good deeds and forgive them their sins. Oh Allah, ask them, make dua for them. They're the one that need the dua. Ignorant people, they go there and ask the dead people, oh, so-and-so, give me, help me out. They're the one that need the dua. So no Quran is to be recited over there, congregation, none of that. All that's from the bid'ah, wal-iyadu billah. ما يستفاد من الحديث؟ What are the benefits from this hadith? أولا المنع من عبادة الله عند قبور الصالحين لأنه وسيلة إلى الشرك وهو من فعل النصارى. The first benefit from this hadith, Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan says, it is prohibited to perform any acts of worship for Allah at the graves of the righteous people. It's prohibited. No actions of worship at the sites, at those sites. Because it is considered from the means that lead to shirk. And plus it is from the actions of the Christians. And we are not to imitate them. Number two, التحدث عما يفعله الكفار ليحذره المسلمون. Likewise, another benefit the Shaykh says, to mention that with the kuffar they do their actions. If the kuffar do certain things, shirk, and you mention them so that the Muslims be aware of that. Muslims be aware of those actions. Number three, التحذير من التصوير ونصب الصور لأن ذلك وسيلة إلى الشرك. A warning, a severe warning against taking pictures and hanging of pictures, because this is from the means that lead to shirk. Muslims, we don't take pictures. And we don't keep pictures for souvenirs. And we don't hang pictures in our walls, in our bedrooms and living rooms or offices or... No. You don't take pictures except for necessity, the ulama, al-ilm, they say, except for necessity, like such as photo ID, driver license, you need it. If you don't need a driver license, you don't get it, because it implies the picture. Somebody who's not driving or not, don't need to drive nowhere, so he don't need to get a picture, driver license, because now he's involved taking a picture. Another necessity, a passport. Somebody need a passport to travel for Hajj, to travel to see his family, whatever the case is. They cannot issue a passport without a photo ID, at least at this time. If it changed, then you don't have a picture. If they make an option, they says, look, you can, it's up to you. You want to have a picture or not for a passport or for a driver license? You're a Muslim, he says, no pictures. Okay? But now, subhanAllah, because of the jahl, a lot of Muslims are ignorant of this deen. And not only they ignorant, and some of them, they argue. Well, so what is the pictures? What's going to happen, man? I don't see nothing. You're making a big deal. The Prophet ﷺ tell you not to do it, and you still don't see it? Because of the aqidah. They have problems in the creed. Because those who are firm upon the aqidah, whatever the Messenger of Allah said, stay away from it, they stay away from it. They don't ask questions. I don't see nothing wrong with it. You don't see nothing wrong with it? Who's the Messenger here? See, that's the problem. The Messenger of Allah is to be obeyed. There is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the people obey the Messenger of Allah in everything. Things that you understand and things you don't understand. If the people, they will accept from the Sunnah only what makes sense to their mind, that's why there is some deviant groups. They deviate because of that. They reject the hadith, sahih. Why? They say, make no sense to us. A'udhu billah. And that's why how they deviated. But the believer, submit to the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. If the hadith is sound, I gotta act upon it. Whether he understand the wisdom or don't, he may not understand it. Allah has given that understanding to somebody else. Ask the ulama, Ya Shaykh, I'm not contradicting the hadith. Alhamdulillah, I'm acting upon it. I just want to know, is there any wisdom behind it? The Shaykh may tell you, Allahu A'lam, son. Jazakallahu khairan. Alhamdulillah, that Allah grant you tawfiq that you're acting upon it without understanding the wisdom. Well, guess what? You're not alone. I'm with you in this one too. Or maybe in certain cases, the Shaykh may give you the wisdom, yes. He says, oh, na'am, ahsant. Barakallahu feek, jazakallahu khairan. This is the way of the Salaf. Na'am, you act upon the hadith, even if you don't know the wisdom. As long as the hadith is sound, you act upon it. Never go against it. But however, yes, you're right. There is a wisdom behind it. And this, wallahu a'lam. This is what the Salaf said. This is what Abu Bakr said. This is what Umar said. This is what Ibn Abbas said. This is what Ibn Mas'ud said. Wallahu a'lam. Al-ilmu inda Allah. See? But some wicked people, they reject the hadith from the Mu'tazila and those who follow them because it doesn't make no sense to their intellect. Wal-iyadu billah. Pictures, Ikhwan. The ulama, they says, you don't. If anybody has pictures, should destroy them immediately. You don't leave pictures in your house. Whether they are on walls, whether they you have them in albums and save them, and you once a while they bring them out and show them to the grandma and say, oh yeah, when he was 2 weeks, we just got born. Destroy them. That's disobedience to Allah and to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ignorant Muslims, ya akhwan, ignorant. They go in Hajj and we see them. And people are busy. This is a Hajj. Arafat, man, the best day in Arafat. The best day. And you're supposed to take advantage of it and make dua for yourself, for your family. There is a lot of things to ask. Ignorant people, pictures, all day. And some of them smoke cigarettes. We've seen them because they've been riding, smoking, talking, blah, blah, laughing, eating, blah, blah, blah. And then one of them say, oh, take a picture of me. And now in front of the picture, he's like, crying. And then as soon as, let me see. And he's like, go back, laugh. That's Sheikh Fawzani says, beside the fact that it's prohibited, but look, it's riya, show off. And they pretend that they were serious and humble in the picture, which is not reality. And then they go back and tell the people, look, man, I was in Arafah, I was making dua, I was throwing the pebbles. And some of them, they have the nerve to come to you and say, hey, can you take a picture? No, I can't take a picture. You tell them no, and explain to them. But sometimes you don't speak the language of so many people. But you still have to say, la, can't take these pictures. People say a lot of stuff. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, I heard many times in his tapes, they say, Ya Sheikh, not just him, Fawzan too, and others, they say, Sheikh, they say that, some people say that you have a fatwa and you said this is okay. The Sheikh, he says, as for me, a lot of time they lie against me. They lie against me. And they say, Ibn Uthaymeen says, he said to them, say to those people, where the Ibn Uthaymeen said this? Where? Bring us. Where? In his book, in his fatwa. Do you have any CD, any tape in his class with his voice? Hatu burhanakum. Show it to us. Okay? Well, people, they just say, Sheikh says. Because if they know you know Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, they're going to say that. If you know another sheikh, they tell you, oh, the other sheikh. They lie sometimes. Or sometimes they may not even understand the fatwa of Sheikh Ibn al-Taymin. Okay? Rabi'an, number four, benefit number four. أن من بنى مسجدا عند قبر رجل صالح فهو من شرار الخلق وإن حسنت نيته. That whoever built a masjid at the grave of a righteous man, could they do it? وَلَيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. The Sufis, the ignorance, they do this. Whoever built a masjid by the grave of a righteous man, he is considered from the worst of the creature. Even that person may have a good intention. The Shaykh said, وَإِنْ حَسُنَتْ نِيَّتُهُ. Even that person have a good intention, he's not doing it for shirk. They doing it just because some people, they be creative. They're like, look, this is a righteous man. Like, for example, when Shaykh bin Baz died, rahimahullah, alhamdulillah, he died in the land of Tawheed. Okay? Alhamdulillah, they buried him with the Muslims. And his grave is known. They ain't say, oh, this is Shaykh bin Baz. Can't put him in the graveyard with all the people. Nah. This Shaykh is going to be here by himself, going to build a big place, and people are going to come and visit him every Friday. This is Shaykh bin Baz. No, they don't do that. Now I'm Shaykh bin Baz, he has a makana. We love him for the sake of Allah, but he is a servant of Allah. But the ignorant, the Sufis in Africa, in Asia, and elsewhere, when somebody who is famous with them, even upon dalala, upon deviation and upon bid'ah, but he's famous with them. Now they like, no, this person cannot be next to the regular people in the grave. No way. This person is going to give him a nice spot in a graveyard and build a big place by himself. And they have a people that watch, you know, that dare watch and put water every day. Like this man is still going to drink some water. All right, they bring perfume and perfume the grave, see? And do bring flowers. And who does this? Christians. Don't you see the graveyards of the Christians? They take care of them more than I take of my backyard. Spend a lot of time in there. Grass, this, flowers. That's waste of money, by the way. قال الشيخ محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى ولهما عند عائشة قالت لما نزل برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طفق يطرح خميسة له على وجهه فإذا اغتم بها كشفها فقال وهو كذلك لعنة الله على اليهود والنصارى اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد يحذر ما صنعوا ولولا ذلك أبرز قبره غير أنه خشي أن يتخذ مسجدا أخرجاه. Also, الإمام البخاري الإمام مسلم رحمه الله تعالى they collected this hadith on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha as well. She narrated, When the death approached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sick, and the death approached him. He began sallallahu alaihi wasallam to draw a piece of cloth over his face. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he's in that state, Allah's curse be upon the Jews and the Christians for taking the graves of their prophets and places as places of worship. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned the people about their actions. Had there not been any fear of making the Prophet's grave a place of worship, his grave would have been as open as the graves of his companions. Meaning as open, meaning it would be buried outside her house. which is his house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hawa Ta'ala, he says that because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the one who commanded them not to do this. And also, the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim, because they understand this religion, they understood it, and they are the purest in the aqidah, they were afraid also that the people might take the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grave later on as a place of worship, wal-iyadu billah. Al-ma'na al-ijmali lil-hadith, the general meaning of this hadith, يقول الشيخ الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حرصا منه على حماية التوحيد وتجنيب الأمة ما وقعت فيه الأمم الضالة من الغلو في قبور أنبيائهم حتى آل ذلك بهم إلى الشرك جعل صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو في سياق الموت ومقاسات شدة النزع يحذر أمته أن لا يغلو في قبره فيتخذوه مسجدا يصلون عنده كما فعلت اليهود والنصارى ذلك مع قبور أنبيائهم فصلى الله وسلم عليه لقد بلغ البلاغ المبين. The Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى, he says in this hadith, it shows how diligent the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was in protecting Tawheed, in protecting Tawheed, and keeping this Ummah away from that which the previous misguided nations has fallen into, in going to extreme as related to the graves of their prophets, which lead them to shirk wal-iyadu billah. They went to extreme with in as related to the graves of their prophets until it lead them to the shirk, to worship them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he's in death, in the agony of death, he warned his ummah. At that moment, this is very that moment when he's dying sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why the ulama from the Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh al-Albani and others, they say, just look at the importance of Tawheed and Shirk. The Prophet ﷺ, he began his da'wah calling to Tawheed and warning against Shirk, and at the last moment of his life, still calling to Tawheed and warning against Shirk. They said that shows the importance. Sheikh Ubaid Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he says, we all know that a person who's dying, they're not going to talk about anything at that moment. They don't have enough energy to speak. Usually they are fighting the death. As the Prophet ﷺ here, the Shaykh Fawzan says, the Prophet ﷺ, he was in a condition that he even have to put something on his face. In another hadith, he has some water, a cloth with water, and put it on his face from how severe those moments were upon the Prophet ﷺ. The Mashayikh, they says, a person in this condition, he ain't going to talk about anything. No, he doesn't have much energy. He talks about the most important things. Can you imagine somebody is dying and he gathered his wife and children? Is he going to talk to them at that moment? He knows what he's going through. He's going to talk about what you're doing for tomorrow, what's for lunch tomorrow? Is he going to talk about, I don't know, the yard or whatever? No, he's going to talk about the most important things. He's going to tell them something that is very important, such as, اتقوا الله من بعدي, fear Allah after me. I tried my best to stay on this path and make sure that you're on it. And I advise you all to be upon taqwa. He ain't going to talk to them about money, talk to them about anything else, about the dunya. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned this while he was in the agony of death, warning against shirk. So he warned his ummah that they should not go to extreme as related to his grave, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore it will be taken as a place of worship, and the people will come there and perform actions of worship. Walhamdulillah, ya akhwan, alhamdulillah, ni'mah from Allah, that alhamdulillah, A lot of people, ignorant people, they want to do this. They would love to do this by the grave of the Prophet ﷺ, but alhamdulillah, they are prevented by the Saudi government, jazakumullah khairan. Other than that, some people actually, they mad at the Saudi government because they said they don't allow us to do this. They mad at them. They would love, some people, they would love, if it was left for them, they would love to camp right there by the grave of the Prophet ﷺ, kiss his grave, asking him, whatever. May Allah protect the government, ameen, for what they do for Tawheed. And may Allah rectify their affairs. As Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala himself says, he says, we will make dua for the rulers of Saudi Arabia because of what we see from them from good. They promote the sunnah, they protect the Tawheed, they call to it, they warn against shirk and bid'ah. He says, but with this, we're not saying that they are perfect. No, we're not saying they are perfect. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to correct what they have from his mistakes. He says, but they are doing a lot of good, by the way. So the Prophet ﷺ, he warned his ummah so that they do not go to extreme as related to his grave. By taking it as a masjid, as a place of worship, they began to pray in there and all of this. As the Jews and the Christians, they do with the graves of their prophets. And that's true. Even though, look, some people, they go to extreme as related to the Prophet's grave, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you know the etiquette that the etiquette is just like you go there, if you're at the masjid, you go by the grave and you just give the salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you move on and give the salam to Abu Bakr and Umar and you move on. Akhi, you see people, the Sufis and the ignorant, they face in the grave and they give in their back to the Qibla and making dua. No, actually the etiquette is you have to face the Qibla when you make dua. And when you see the way they make the dua at that grave, they crying and Allah al-Musta'an. And when they are making dua, asking Allah, you don't see that humbleness. And this is actions of people that are prevented. Can you imagine if they open the door for them? Allah al-Musta'an. People go there and they do so many crazy stuff. If the Prophet ﷺ grave was outside, and the people, they will take the dirt as barakah. As we've seen them right now, subhanallah, some people take with them prayer rug. You know the prayer rug? They buy it for 5 riyal or 10 riyal, and they go and they try their best to just like rub it against the gate. Some of them throw it because they hear there is the guards, you know, alhamdulillah, they don't allow them. Some throw it in there, it touched the ground, okay, that's mine. They know what they want. They're like, oh, it's not yours anymore, man. And here is a 5 riyal. Go get another one. No, I want that one. The same. Actually, here's 20 riyal. Go to that store. There is better quality. No, they don't want that. They don't care. They want that one. Why? Because it touched the gate, not the grave. Because they're going to take it now, and then their families, I don't know what country they are, they come and touch it. Shirk, that rug now is anybody who has it in his house, he's not like anybody else. You see it in the Mecca too, in the Kaaba. They have rugs and they fight instead to keep going and making dua and do. Now they fight to get to the wall of the Kaaba. Every wall, they have to do it in every wall. Some of them, they stop the tawaf. Stop the tawaf. Until they have to do it. That's their belief. They have, that rag has to touch the every corner of the Kaaba. And every, if they don't, if it's crowded or somebody pushing him, they stay right there. Until they do it. So these people now coming to make tawaf or coming to do something else. Obviously, you know the answer. A lot of innovations and bid'ah. Other people, they say, because one lady from this country, Arab country, and Alhamdulillah, over there when we go for Hajj, we try our best to, when we see certain things, to tell the people the sunnah. And I heard this lady, she was talking to her husband and these other people, and they're like, wow. Talking about a rug. She's like, I have two more salads on this rug, and that's it. I'm like, what is it? They believe that they take a rug, and if they pray five salads on it, or 3 days, everyone according to their bidah, whatever the shaitan beautified to them. They say that if they take the same rug and pray Fajr on it, and then Dhuhr on it, and Maghrib Isha, that's it, they put it to the side. This is for so-and-so. Give him as a gift. This is not in a rug. I prayed five salat on the haram. So this is not in a rug, huh? So what do you imagine those people who didn't make Hajj? What are they going to do with that rug? Can you put your foot on it? Oh my God, you'll be in trouble. That rug is going to be in one spot, and whenever they see the rug, they humble and they respect it. It's crazy. So much so that the people, they cannot get to the Kaaba. You see the Hajar al-Aswad? You see the Hajar al-Aswad? Now there is, in YouTube and stuff, you can see it, right? Who's standing right there by the Hajar al-Aswad? There is a guard, there is a police. Why that police is there for? Because people fighting. People practicing so many bad things. Some people, Akhwan, they so much so they want to touch the guy. They couldn't, and they touched the man's knees. The police guy, he's there. A'udhu billah. Akhwan, ignorance, jahl. That's why when you learn the sunnah, you say, alhamdulillah, for knowledge. And you go there, if you're making tawaf, you go talk to them. Wallahi, some of them, they listen. And you don't know who's going to listen and who's not going to listen. Yes, some of them want to fight you. You want to tell them, no, don't touch the Kaaba, don't. Because they kiss. The voice, like, no. Some they like, even they don't speak, they don't speak your language. You just tell them, sign language. Some they understand. Say, and they go. Other people want to fight you. Get away from me. They push you and then they go back, kiss the wall of the Kaaba. But you don't know. You tell the people, alhamdulillah, tell them, no, this is no good. Aynam. مناسبة الحديث للباب أن فيه المنع من عبادة الله عند قبور الأنبياء واتخاذها مساجد لأنه يفضي إلى الشرك بالله. The Shaykh brought this hadith as a proof to this chapter because he says it contains a prohibition that is prohibited to worship Allah at the graves of the prophets. And it is prohibited as well to take these graves, the graves of the prophets, as masajid, place of worship, because it leads to shirk. It leads to shirk. ما يستفاد من الحديث؟ Shaykh mentioned five benefits. Number one, المنع من اتخاذ, number one, المنع من اتخاذ قبور الأنبياء والصالحين مساجد يصلى فيها لله لأن ذلك وسيلة للشرك. It is prohibited to take the graves of the prophets عليهم الصلاة والسلام and the graves of the righteous people as the places of worship. When the people, they worship Allah, not worship them, worship Allah and invoke Allah and ask Allah, still is prohibited. Why? Because it leads to shirk later on. Number two, اهتمام وشدة اهتمام الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم واعتناؤه بالتوحيد وخوفه أن يعظم قبره لأن ذلك يفضي إلى الشرك. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was so keen to maintain the purity of belief and tawheed. نعم, he was very concerned. That's why he warned against shirk. So that's why he expresses his fear for hallowing his grave, because it leads to shirk. It leads to shirk, وليهاد بالله. Number three, جواز لعن اليهود والنصارى ومن فعل مثل فعلهم من البناء على القبور واتخاذها مساجد. the permissibility of cursing the Jews and the Christians and whoever followed them on that evil, on their evil actions by erecting buildings or tombs on the graves and taking them as a places of worship. Number four, بيان الحكمة من دفن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في بيته وأن ذلك لمنع الافتتان به. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was buried at his home to guard people against falling into trials by glorifying his grave. By glorifying his grave. Number five, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بشر يجري عليه ما يجري على البشر من الموت وشدة النزع. This hadith also mentioned that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is a human being like a human beings. And he is predestined to die. And he suffered the agonies of death as other people did suffer agonies of death as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm upon Tawheed and to protect us and our families from shirk and whatever leads to shirk. وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.